The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We are joined by former Florida State Heisman winner, basketball standout, and starting point guard for the New York Knicks in the 90s. That's right, the great athlete Charlie Ward joins the show. So buckle up, get excited, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, cuz they're free. So 269 coming hot at you guys. Then so 268. I'm joined by the fellas on this one. And as you heard in the introduction, we have the great Charlie Ward. Before we get into the show, though, a friendly reminder that we are brought to you by our friends on Bet Online. Did somebody say playoffs? The NBA, MLB, and NHL are in full swing, and our partners at Bet Online have you covered. So, take full advantage of the sports being back and get on the action with hundreds of odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. And there is always the online casino as well. It never closes. So, head to betonline.ag today and sign up to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag. Sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Go there and win money. Everyone's been doing it on the team. Seriously. It's good luck on BetOnline. Very enjoyable site. The casino is too addicting, but fun nonetheless. Speaking of fun, we have a really fun one for you guys today. I'm really honored, super pumped to have Charlie Ward. So without further ado, here's the show. You heard it in our introduction, ladies and gentlemen. We are here today with Charlie Ward, Heisman Trophy winner and starting point guard at one point for the New York Knicks. I think it says it all right there. One of the all-time athletes. Charlie, welcome to the show, man. How you doing today?
I'm good. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely, man. Very excited to have you on. We have a couple guys, Nick and Toss, who played multiple sports growing up, like yourself. Nick, you had a question.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I mean, your coaches always tell you that it's so good to play multiple sports, you know, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, you know, hockey, track. For myself, it was baseball, football, and track. Can you just speak to the importance of how, you know, how important it is for kids to play multiple sports and how that, you know, grows them as athletes in other areas?
Well, I know for myself, you know, I just enjoyed the sport. As one of my former teammates, you know, he's coined the phrase of easy work. When you have a passion for something, it's really easy. And so I enjoyed playing multiple sports. I grew up doing it in the backyard, in the streets, my neighborhood with friends. And so that was just a part of what I did. But what it really did was it helped me to focus, you know, throughout the school year, because when you play a sport, you have to make sure that you maintain your grades. You also have to organize your time. All those things are very, very important. And that's one of the things I'm always talk to our biological kids and the kids that I coach. Is, you know, when you play multiple sports, it definitely helps you to stay organized and stay focused, because, you know, a lot of times when we have a lot of time, we don't know what to do with it, especially as athletes. But in this day and age, a lot of kids are working out and doing those types of things. So it does, some guys are in between, you know, trying to figure out what they're doing when they're not playing a sport. But I just know for me, it definitely helped me to organize my time and keep me focused on, you know, my academics.
Was there a third sport for you besides basketball and football?
Well, in high school, I missed 2 years of spring sports because of an injury. But my junior and senior year, I ran track my junior year, and then I played baseball my senior year.
Nice. Very well-rounded. You played basketball, though, at Florida State as well as football. You and Sam Cassell made a great tandem in the backcourt over there. And also another interesting piece I found out about you was when Warwick Dunn came to Florida State, you kind of took him under your wing because he was going through some family stuff, and you kind of, you know, kept him sheltered. And he was your roommate and friend, and you were his mentor. And you speak about giving back to the younger players and kind of coaching them, whether they're your biological kids or not. You're now also running the ACC show on the Believe Network. Congratulations for starting that over there. And the ACC is going this year, which is great. So is the SEC and the Big 12. But there's no Big 10 and Pac-12 in college football. And so now these athletes don't have the sports to fall back on. What's your opinion on the lack of, I guess, voice the NCAA has given these athletes, or choice, you know, to go and play the season?
Well, I don't know if it's an NCAA issue, but it's definitely a conference decision that they've made. And unfortunately, you know, the student athletes, as far as the fall student athletes sports, you know, got caught up in that decision, meaning that right at this point in time, they won't have a season, which is a tough pill to swallow, which, you know, that happened for the spring sports last year. You know, think about the NCAA tournament, all the teams that were, you know, vying for that championship and had a great opportunity. I know Florida State being one, they didn't get an opportunity, you know, and the choices that are made, sometimes we have to live with them. And we just hope that they don't have a bigger impact on us, you know, if we're a part of that choice. But of course, the other three Power Five conferences have chosen to, you know, run the course to see how they could get a season in and work the protocols and the different things that they're doing to see how, you know, it can happen. But, you know, I've talked to quite a few people. There's football going on in high school in Alabama. And there, you know, games are going on, you know, in different places, in different states. So, you know, we just got to try to figure out how to manage and work through this difficult time, and also stay safe. You know, you're not putting kids at risk, but you know, there's always that risk factor that we always go through. You know, going outside or being around people in general, you know, is always a risk, as we've seen in a lot of different ways. But it's unfortunate for those that won't get an opportunity to play because they're seniors. They may not get a chance, you know, if they don't have a spring season, they may not get a chance to finish their senior year, which is tough. But, you know, for those who've chosen to move on, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, it's like life. You know, we have to make choices, and we have to live with them.
Mm-hmm. And it's a conference-by-conference decision with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. But do you think the problem kind of stems from the top down with the, I mean, I guess lack of leadership or lack of, not integrity maybe, but the lack of care for the players sometimes by the NCAA?
You know, people keep saying that. But, you know, I was a student athlete, and I felt that way because we didn't have those options as far as the name, image, and likeness that's coming down the pipe, which, you know, we could have taken advantage of during our time, but it wasn't part of the game. Mm-hmm. And, so, you know, a lot of times we hold grudges and we think things that we're being taken advantage of. But I just, you know, that was something I had to deal with, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't fruitful because it's just like anger. If you're holding on to something, you know, if you're holding on to anger, it's only going to kill yourself. Not the person that you're angry with, or, you know, the reason why you're angry. So people keep saying they're being taken advantage of. Yes, there's a fair market value for, you know, student athletes, and who gives them that opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the colleges give them that opportunity, right, to have a platform.
Yeah.
And I know just for myself, you know, my parents worked very hard to, you know, provide for us. But it would have been difficult for them to send me to college. And, you know, for me to have a scholarship and also to be able to better myself and get a degree, just those fundamentals alone, you know, would be a great blessing and is a great blessing. Because when I go around and speak to a lot of different people, I ask them how many of them have student loans that they're still paying back. And quite a few of them raised their hand. And so that is not my situation. That's not my, and so I'm just grateful for those things. Sometimes we get so caught up into the value and all those types of things. We might not ever get our value, but the things that's being provided, they have improved the student athlete's experience. A lot of things that they have today, we didn't have. And so, you know, when we start looking at it from that point of view, they have a lot more than what a lot of other student athletes that came before them had, and just the opportunities are numerous. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to name, image, and likeness, sometimes we start looking at the financial component, but there's a lot of ways that we can leverage our name, image, and likeness through the universities that we're currently, you know, that are currently been attending. And that's using the university and its network to be able to leverage an opportunity outside of your sport. And so sometimes we get sideways and thinking that, you know, student athletes are being taken advantage of. Well, my whole thought process is someone's giving me an opportunity. I got to step up to the plate and take advantage of the opportunities that they provided for me to be able to help me provide for my family. Because there are a lot of student athletes who will be first generation, graduates.
Mm.
And so I may get an opportunity to go play in the pros. But if they don't get that opportunity or someone's providing for them, then they may not get a chance to play in the pros. And so I think we just have to think about changing our perspective.
Mm-hmm. And making the most of an opportunity.
Say again?
I was saying, and making the most of an opportunity. And I feel like that's changed nowadays. There's a lot of people such as yourself who have played the game and been in all these positions going back to the younger generation. We're seeing quote unquote less slip ups by the younger players. And when guys don't make the most of their situation or kind of blow an opportunity, it's bigger news because there's less and less guys doing it.
Well, social media definitely plays a big part in that.
Oh, yeah,
during my time, we didn't have social media. And that's really how it becomes bigger news. Because they're the same things going on today went on during my time. And so we didn't have the platform, a national platform right away. So if it wasn't major news where someone was got killed or someone was trying to find something on a program, then, you know, it really got handled in-house. But in this day and age, with all the different social media outlets, you can voice your opinion about something and it goes viral right now. And so that's just the biggest difference. Really, the things that's going on were going on back, you know, during my time and even before me. But now there's just social media and you have access to hearing these news. This news right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of your time compared to now, I mean, how do you think your game would have translated, or the way you were dominant in both sports, right? Do you think, Dan Patrick asked you this on his show when we watched that interview, but that was 8 years ago. Do you think your style of gameplay would be different with the social media right now, with other quarterbacks who play a similar style to you, like Lamar, like Kyler, like Mahomes even, you know, guys who can move, they're being taken more seriously and not just being looked at as athletes anymore. Do you think you would have maybe taken a different path or, you know, been viewed differently at least as a quarterback?
Probably. So, I mean, I was just a byproduct of the time because back during my time, you know, they were looking for a certain type of quarterback, and that was, you know, there's 30 teams or 32 teams, then, you know, 30 of them were looking for a certain type of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And there were only a couple of teams out there that may have been running a similar style that my skill set would have probably fit in. The running gun. I think Houston Oilers was one, and then Atlanta Falcons was another one. And so those two teams really, they talked to me during my pro day, but I also got a call from the Kansas City Chiefs who, you know, had Joe Montana. Our skill sets were very similar. So they called me on draft day and asked about, you know, getting drafted in the fifth round or what have you. But I told them I couldn't guarantee that I would come to camp if I was drafted in the NBA in the first round. And so, you know, times have changed and there are more wide open offenses. In NFL is starting to move towards, not all of them, but a few of them are. And so now you've seen the transformation of the spread quarterback in college get an opportunity in the pros because they've kind of gone to that system.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of the organizations have gone to that system, I should say.
I mean, absolutely. Obviously, Vic for our generation was the guy who transcended that. But really, I think, in my opinion, Russell Wilson killed that stigma on his own right. A guy who's not big. A guy who everyone's looking at him and going, he's a runner. And then he goes, no, I'm going to sit here in the pocket and beat you with my arm. He's the kind of guy that killed that stigma for me over there. But you played for the Knicks, again, like we said at the top, and then you played at Florida State, won the Heisman and the national championship. What are some of the most surreal moments? like moments that you look back on and go, I can't believe I accomplished that?
Well, I was grateful that one, I got an opportunity to play two sports, basketball and football. Grateful for Coach Bowden and Coach Kennedy working together to allow me to achieve that goal. Two, you know, being able to play two sports and get my degree before I left Florida State in 1993. Third would be, you know, winning a national championship and the Heisman in the same year. And so, you know, those were college days. And then being drafted, you know, in the NBA was a great moment, because I know I put a lot of time and energy in and positioned myself to have, you know, that opportunity, but didn't know that it was going to happen. But when it happened, I was grateful. And also, you know, just going through the challenges my rookie year, once I got there, you know, the challenges of not getting a chance to play, but still having to work to earn my time and spot. And, you know, to be able to make it to the conference, the NBA Finals in 1999 was also a great moment, because we struggled a lot that season and we were able to overcome the obstacles. And so that was another moment that I appreciate.
What's it like playing for a college championship versus a professional championship?
One, you're getting paid. one, you're getting paid more than the other, but compete for a championship is always a great blessing. That means you're one of two teams is going to raise the championship trophy. And so, you know, I had an opportunity to do that a few times. You know, it may not have been national, but, you know, some district and conference championships that I've been a part of. So, you know, just to be able to accomplish those are great goals as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you were playing both sports in college, were there, I mean, you talked about your coaches and how they were supportive. Were there a lot of people who were not supportive and criticized the choice to continue to do that rather than to pick one or the other? Because I know that's a lot of, you know, a lot of high school athletes, even middle school athletes now deal with that, where people are telling them, you can't play multiple sports. You have to make a decision. You have to be a specialist if you want to get to that next level. Was that something you had to deal with a lot?
No. No. Most of the times it's the coaches that's telling them that they can't play because they need to focus on or choose, you know, they need to focus on getting better in one sport because the coaches are being selfish.
Right.
And essentially, you know, they get to the parents and, you know, I'm all about options, because if you have the ability to play another sport, then you should. But if someone chooses to play one sport because they feel like they want to do it, then that's on them. I try to encourage my kids that I work with and coach to play multiple sports because it just gives you time off from that sport, your major sport. And it hopefully it's a complementary sport to where it can help you improve whatever your major sport is. And right. So if they choose not to do that, like I have, if I have 11 basketball players on my varsity team,
yeah,
I have 10 of them that play only basketball. And it's strictly their choice. And if it's their choice, then our job is to help them get better. Because if you're going to play one sport, you can't come back the same player each and every year. That's just my take. Because if you're going to put more time and effort into that sport, then there should be some improvement. But those that don't put the time in, then there won't be an improvement. And I would encourage them to, you know, move on and play a different sport just so they can have options, because I've also seen guys who think they're football players, or they think that they're basketball players, and or whatever sport, they're major baseball players, and then they go and play another sport, and they have more success in that sport. And next thing you know, they have options. And so that's one of the things I always talk to them about is, you know, give yourself options, because you never know. One sport may not be the best for you when it comes to, you know, after high school, because you may be 5'8 in basketball, but a 5'8 defensive back or slot receiver, you know, it's like gold.
That can cut it.
And so it's just a matter of kind of what you want to do. And but at least they should explore their options.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I want to stay on the topic really quickly of both sports. So, I mean, obviously playing for the Knicks and playing for Florida State, which team do you think is more on the up right now? Because, I mean, with the Knicks, I mean, it's a young organization, you know, they're getting lottery picks. And then with Florida State, I mean, it's a team that's really trying to get back to where they were with Jameis Winston, you know, what, 6 years ago. I mean, they're new coach, new recruiting classes coming in.
Yeah, they're both kind of in the same boat. You know, they just both just hired quality coaches.
Yeah, I like Norvell.
And so they're kind of in the same boat. Coach Thibodeau will do a very good job. The key is I think both are both organizations are in the same have the same mindset. You know, when it comes president, GM to head coach, and hopefully the Knicks can shore up that part of it. But I do know from the college perspective here in at Florida State, the president, the athletic director, and the head coach are all on the same page. And so that plays a big part in any organization. When you have everyone on the same page with the same goals and no hidden agendas and those types of things, and stability. Stability plays a big part in just the success over time. And we haven't had the stability at Florida State since, you know, the last few years of Jimbo until now. And then the Knicks, they haven't had instability for quite some time, you know, at least.
Yeah.
Since you were there.
20 years.
Since the last time they made it to the playoffs. And then after that, they went and got rid of Woodson and just some other people. And so it's just been a merry-go-round. It's been more of a merry-go-round in New York. It's just been, you know, a merry-go-round. It's been a quick merry-go-round here within the past, you know, 6 years, about 6 years or so here at Florida State. You know, we've had a quick merry-go-round with – we only had one coach for like 40 years, and we've had three coaches, you know, in the past, you know, 10 years or whatever it is. So that's not normal, but – I do believe that both organizations have quality coaches.
Do you think Willie Taggart got a fair shake?
I don't think so. But when it comes down to it, as I talked about earlier, choices that you have to live with, the people who were making those decisions didn't think so. And so we have to live with that decision. And so right now we have they brought in a guy that they feel comfortable with leading. He's doing an excellent job of, you know, bringing accountability, discipline, you know, stability, you know, quality coaches that he's surrounded himself with. All the coaches have, you know, the same mindset. You know, they're there to help the kids. They're here to help win. And they're all, you know, left some quality jobs that left, you know, left some quality jobs to come and be with Coach Norvell. So, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, Coach Taggart, God opened the door for him down in FAU. Mm-hmm. FAU. He's at FAU. And so he opened that door for him, a quick turnaround for him. And hopefully he'll be able to get the support that he needs, because he wasn't going to get the support he needed to be successful here.
Yeah. We saw a similar thing, in my opinion, with Charlie Strong. We're all University of Texas guys. I felt from the jump he was batting from behind. I felt like it was an 0-2 count from the start with him, which as a coach, you can attest to this, is if you are playing from behind already before you've even hit the field, it is too tough to win.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great example. You know, I didn't think it was a good fit for him just because of that you're talking about, just the support. And I don't think University of Texas is going to support him. And then, you know, him trying to come in and to him clean up the program, in a sense, with the discipline piece. And so he was, like you say, bad. He had a bad average going in. But, you know, he did the best that he could. And, you know, that's all you can ask.
So much of it has to do with the actual university itself and the fan base. I mean, they're always expecting win now right away. I mean, University of Texas, Florida State, I mean, any of those big schools expect immediate results. And it's just not always possible.
No, it's not. And, you know, then sometimes it is possible with the right support. And that plays a big part. You look at Dan Mullen down at Florida. You know, his first 2 years, you know, he's 10-plus wins. And then before him, you know, McElwain and, you know, all the guys that came before him, they couldn't get out of the weeds in a sense, because, mm-hmm. you know, they were always that speculation. You know, if they weren't winning 9 or 10 games a year with the talent that they had, you know, it was like failure. And even with McElwain, he won games. But he just couldn't get over the hump, you know, winning a championship. And then he had, a bad year, and then that was their opportunity. But I just that's just the expectations that certain schools have. And you know that going in as a coach, and everyone feels like they have the system to be able to do it. And some do and some don't. But you just have to continue to build on what you feel you have in store to be able to help the student athletes in the university prosper, you know, from a long-term perspective.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I think Chuck Strong, I wish he'd gotten an opportunity today versus a few years ago, in my opinion. But on the positive note for coaches, you got to play under some great ones. Not to get into the competition of things, but who would you say is the best coach you've ever been under?
I had some great coaches, so it's hard to say one coach that I played for. Of course, I played for Coach Bobby Bowden, which was, he's a legend. He was a legend before I got there. And that was something that one of the reasons why I chose to stay was because of Coach Bobby Bowden. He's a Christian man, and, you know, just his integrity, his honesty, being fair, that was something that he always preached and talked about. And so, you know, I mean, he would be one guy. if I had to choose one, you know, I had my dad, who's a coach, and of course, he's my mentor as a high school coach. And then, I mean, you just run the gamut. Greg Popovich, Jeff Van Gundy, Don Nelson for half a year, even though he didn't give him an opportunity to play, but he's still a legendary coach. Pat Riley.
Man, amazing.
As well. And so, like I said, there was a lot of quality coaches that I got an opportunity to play for.
Right on. We'll let you rock and roll. Just one last question. We always ask everybody this. Your favorite sports memory could be from you playing, coaching, watching, anything your whole life.
I think I've said it earlier, you know, just being able to win a national championship. That was a great accomplishment, because it's always something that you set out for at the beginning of a year. Mm-hmm. To win a national championship, especially in college. And if you're in the pros, it's to, you know, win the NBA trophy. But just to be able to win the game the way we want it, tough environment, get an opportunity to have the ball last in some form or fashion, to take your team down to score, and then actually execute and winning a game on the drive, one of the drives that, you know, where we won the game-winning drive. So that would be a memory that always be etched in my mind. Because a lot of times, you know, had the same situation in Notre Dame that year, 93, yep. And we failed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that failure definitely helped us, you know, to be prepared for the next opportunity, and we were successful. And so that's something I always talk about, you know, if you're going to succeed, you got to fail and learn from it. And if you succeed, you still have to learn from it. As well, but that would be a great memory, just being able to win a championship in college.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Ward, congrats again on the new ACC show on the Believe Network. We're pumped to have you aboard the family. Go check him out there. It'll be dropping shortly. And Charlie, thanks for joining us, man.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Of course, man. Anytime.
Course. All right. Take care, Charlie.
All right. Yeah, have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Crazy we had him on. I've been hearing about him since I was a kid, so this was a super special one for sure. And yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe. And quick reminder about our favorite, one of the all-time favorite sponsors, Opa Seasonings. Go to opafoods.com. Get 10% off with the code of the charity stripe at opafoods.com. Opa Seasonings, the best. I've been eating it raw, not going to lie to you folks. Licking my hand, pouring it on my fist, and putting it on my tongue. It's that good. Blend of spices, plus some extra hints, rosemary, mint, dill, garlic. It's absolutely delicious. So go to opafoods.com, get 10% off with the code thecharitystripe at all your Opa seasonings. Thanks for listening to the fans out there. Drag both feet in bounds, swing in a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt. Hit your PKs because they're free, and hit your free throws. Wah-ha-ha-ay. Because they are free, we out ya. We love ya.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in Malakoff? Yes! High fly ball to right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound Box back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big.